You can automate more than ever right now. Agents, pipelines, self-healing systems, all of it. But if you don't build brakes and blast radius controls at the same time, you're just speeding up the failure too. That's the theme for today. Hey, I'm Brian Teller. I work in DevOps and SRE, and I run Teller's Tech. This is Ship It Weekly, where I filter the noise and pull out what actually matters when you're the one running infrastructure and owning reliability. If something's hype, I'll call it hype. If it changes how you operate, we'll talk about it. Happy New Year. It's January 2nd, so if you're listening on a walk, cleaning up a lab, or just avoiding thinking about Monday yet, welcome. Quick housekeeping. The site is shipitweekly.fm. That's where the links and show notes live, plus the contact email. Also, I'm looking for interview guests. If you're building real infra, platform, SRE, DevEx, governance, migrations, any of it, and you want to come on for a chill conversation episode, hit the contact form on shipitweekly.fm. And one quick ask. If the show has been useful, follow or subscribe wherever you are listening. And if you've got 10 seconds, a rating or review really helps way more than it should. All right, three main stories for today. Cloudflare's Code Orange resilience plan and their whole fail small approach. It's basically the internet's biggest edge provider saying, we're changing how we ship and how we contain blast radius. Second, Pulumi making a very direct move at Terraform and HCL. This is about the IAC control plane, governance, and what the next year looks like for teams trying to standardize without rewriting the world. Third, Meta's DRP, a root cause analysis platform at scale. Not, we bought a tool. More like, we turned incident investigation into software. Then, we'll do a lightning round with a few practical updates and tools. And we'll close with a human story about the ironies of automation and why faster systems can actually increase the burden on humans if you don't design the oversight part. Let's get into it. So Cloudflare published a post about Code Orange and fail small. And the vibe is basically, we've had enough of big correlated failures. And I love that they're saying the quiet part out loud. When you run global infrastructure, a lot of the stuff that hurts you isn't a single server dying. It's one config change, one policy tweak, one rollout mistake, and suddenly you have the same failure everywhere at once. That's the nightmare, correlated failure. So fail small is the strategy to force problems to stay local. If you ship a bad change, it should not be able to take down everything. It should hit one slice, one region, one cell, one shard, one whatever, and then you learn and stop it. That's the ideal. Now, the reason this matters for normal humans like us is because this is the same exact pattern inside companies, just scaled down. One shared Terraform module change breaks 50 repos. One CI permission tweak breaks every pipeline. One harmless IAM policy update knocks out a production deploy. One bad external DNS change takes out half your ingress. You know the vibe. Cloudflare's post is basically a reminder that blast radius control is a feature you have to design and defend. It doesn't appear automatically. And it's also a reminder that reliability work often starts with how do we ship changes safely, not how do we add more dashboards. If you want something actionable from this, here's the mental model I keep in my head. If you cannot confidently say this change will only affect a small part of traffic, then you need better segmentation or better rollout controls. That might mean canaries. It might mean progressive delivery. It might mean feature flags that can be disabled quickly. It might mean splitting a giant shared module into smaller modules so one change doesn't cascade. But either way, the goal is the same. make failure smaller than your ability to recover. And going into a new year, this is a good story to start with because everyone comes back from the holidays with energy and plans and big changes. And the fastest way to ruin January is to ship a big change with a big blast radius. So that's story one. Cloudflare is doing the grown-up version of build guardrails for change. It's not glamorous, it's mandatory. All right. Story two is a little more control plane politics. Pulumi dropped a blog post that's basically a direct play at Terraform and HCL shops. If you zoom out, this isn't just here's a feature. It's them saying you can manage your Terraform and your HCL inside Pulumi's ecosystem, and you can migrate without rewriting everything, which is smart. Because the big friction for most platform teams is not that Terraform is bad. It's that standardization is hard and change is expensive. A lot of teams want stronger guardrails, better policy enforcement, better visibility, better workflows. They also do not want a two-year rewrite project where you rebuild everything in a new language. So Pulumi is trying to reduce the rewrite tax. They're basically saying, keep your existing Terraform, but move the management layer. Use Pulumi Cloud as the place you orchestrate runs, policy, approvals, drift, governance. And they also mention native HCL support inside Pulumi's IAC, so HCL isn't treated like a second-class citizen. This is why this story matters for your audience. It's not about who wins IAC. It's about control planes. In 2026, the platform conversation is increasingly about who owns the workflow and guardrails around infrastructure changes, not which syntax you prefer. And it ties directly to what we talked about in episode 8 with Cloudflare's IAC governance and shift left patterns. Same idea. You want infrastructure changes to be reviewed, tested, policy checked, and auditable before it touches production. Now, if you're a Terraform shop, I'm not telling you to run to Pulumi, but I am saying this is worth watching because it's a sign of where the market is going. Teams want guardrails. They want policy. They want better workflows. They want less state pain. They want less secrets leakage. They want less, oops, I applied the wrong workspace. And the vendors are fighting for that control plane. Practical takeaway here. If your IAC workflow is still people run applies locally, or we have a fragile CI pipeline that's half tribal knowledge, then you're going to feel this pressure all year. Whether you solve it with Terraform Cloud, Spacelift, Atlantis, GitHub Actions, Pulumi, or something homegrown, the point is the same. The workflow is the product. All right. Story 3 is my favorite kind of SRE story. We built a system to do the thing humans keep doing manually. Meta wrote about DRP, their root cause analysis platform. And the idea is actually pretty simple, but the execution is what makes it interesting. When an incident happens, teams do the same basic investigation patterns over and over. You check recent deploys. You check configuration changes. You look for correlated alerts. You compare time series. You scan logs for known signatures. You look for dependency failures. You try to answer the same questions every time. And that's slow. It's manual. It depends on who's on call. It depends on tribal knowledge. So Meta built DRP to codify investigations into analyzers. Think of an analyzer as an automated investigator that knows how to pull signals, correlate timelines, and produce a hypothesis. They describe it as a platform that runs these analyses at scale. A lot of teams, a lot of analysis, all the time. Even if you ignore the big headline numbers, the approach is the real story. SRE, maturity, isn't just more runbooks. It's turning repeated operational work into software. This is the same idea behind good incident tooling in general. You don't want hero debugging, you want systematic debugging. You want the first 15 minutes of an incident to be consistent, no matter who's on call. DRP is basically that idea productized internally. So what's the takeaway for normal shops? You don't need a meta-level RCA platform, but you can steal the pattern. Take the top 5 recurring incident types you see, the stuff that keeps happening. Then ask, what are the first 3 questions we always ask during those incidents? Then automate those questions. That could be as simple as a Slack bot that pulls recent deploys for this service, last config changes, related incidents, top error rate deltas, and posts it automatically in the incident channel, or a runbook that starts with real queries and links, not vague instructions like check the logs, or a simple script that generates a timeline, pulls the right dashboards, and collects the evidence. You don't need to solve everything. You just need to stop doing the same manual steps forever. This is a great New Year story because it's a reminder that SRE work is supposed to reduce human toil, not just respond faster to pain. All right, lightning round. First up, AWS ECR can now create repositories on a push. This is a small feature that can save a lot of time in orgs that spin up a lot of services, environments, or ephemeral projects. Instead of manually creating the repo first, you can push and ECR can create it. But as always, convenience is a governance problem in disguise. If you let anyone auto-create repos with any naming pattern, you'll end up with a junk drawer. So you probably want guardrails around who can do it, what names are allowed, and what defaults get applied, like scanning, lifecycle rules, encryption, that sort of thing. Next, GitHub put out a Let's Talk About GitHub Actions post. I like these when they're less here's marketing and more here's how the platform is evolving. It's worth skimming if you live in Actions and you want to understand where they're investing, especially if Actions is your company's CI backbone, because small improvements in reliability and performance turn into real saved time during incident weeks. Quick callback, episode 6 covered the runner pricing pause. Same takeaway still holds. Actions isn't just CI. It's a control plane. Next, Lauren Hochstein had a great SRE-ish post about incident data and statistical process control. The short version is MTTR is usually not under statistical control, which means the average can be misleading. If you've ever had one weird, horrible incident blow up your average, you already know this. The point is not stop measuring. The point is don't drive the car by staring at one metric that gets yanked around by outliers. Look at distributions, look at trends, and focus on repeatable improvements. Next, DriftHound. This is a tool aimed at drift detection and visibility for Terraform. The reason it's worth mentioning is that drift is one of those problems that gets worse as your infra footprint grows, and it quietly undermines IAC as a source of truth. Even if you don't use this tool specifically, it's a good reminder to revisit how you detect drift and how you respond to it, because we'll notice eventually is not a strategy. And last, Superset. This one is interesting because it's about running multiple coding agents locally in parallel, like a manager for AI agents concept. Useful, but also a good reminder that agentic tools amplify both speed and risk, which is a perfect segue into the human story. For the human closer, I want to pull from Uwe Fredriksson's AI and the Ironies of Automation. The core point is something we keep learning the hard way in operations. Automation doesn't remove responsibility. It moves responsibility. If a system gets faster, the human oversight problem gets harder, not easier, because now the system can do more things faster, including the wrong things. And the human has less time to notice, less time to understand, and less time to stop it. If you've ever been on call during an automated rollout that goes sideways, you know this feeling. You are watching the machine do damage at a speed you can't match. So the real job isn't just add automation, it's design the control loop. How do you detect that automation is going wrong? How do you slow it down? How do you contain the blast radius? How do you make it observable so humans can understand what it's doing? And how can you make rollback as easy as roll out? This ties back to everything in this episode. Cloudflare's fail small is literally about making automation safer by limiting correlated impact. Pulumi's control plane move is about controlling the workflow, policies, and safety rails around changes. Meta's DRP is about automating investigation, but in a way that makes humans faster and more consistent, not replaced and blind. And the agent tools in the lightning round are about the new frontier of this. If you give an agent the ability to write code, open PRs, run CI, or touch infra, you need to treat it like a junior engineer with a caffeine problem. Fast, helpful, and absolutely capable of doing something dumb if you give it too much freedom. So going into the new year, here's the mindset I'd keep. Automate, yes, but build the brakes at the same time. All right, that's it for this episode of Ship It Weekly. We covered Cloudflare's fail small push, Pulumi's move to manage all of your IAC, including Terraform and HCL, and Meta's DRP platform for automated incident investigations. The lightning round was AWS ECR auto-creating repos on push, GitHub Actions platform direction, a better way to think about incident metrics, drift detection, and a quick look at multi-agent tooling. If you got something out of this, hit follow or subscribe wherever you are listening. And if you can, leave a quick rating or review. It helps a ton. Links and show notes are on shipitweekly.fm. And last reminder, I'm looking for interview guests. If you want to come on and talk through real DevOps, SRE, platform engineering, cloud governance, migrations, incident scars, whatever, hit the contact form on the site. I'm Brian. Happy New Year, and I'll see you next week.